Well, good morning, everyone. Knowing that we're getting closer to Christmas, it's always good to sing those songs and be reminded of that. This is not quite a Christmas message, but we'll have that next week, and we'll have that at Candlelight, and we'll also have that at the day after Christmas. But before we go, I want to pray for those who've been a part of that whole storm down in Kentucky. I want to lift them up to you, lift them up to the Lord today, and those families. And sometimes it's a little different. It's a lot different. If it happened here in Huntington, we would be a lot different. It would be more personal. But again, we need to pray for them and lift them up today. Father, we want to lift up those who have been in the path of these storms, Lord, and we know lives have been taken because of these storms, Lord. And we pray, Father, that your spirit will move in the only way you can. And draw those people to yourself. We pray, Father, for those who have lost their loved ones, their homes. We want to lift them up to you today. I pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon each one of those families that's going through this time. We just pray, Father, Lord, that they would just turn and praise you somehow through it. In Christ's name, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Timothy for a minute. And we're going to be in chapter 6. I want to share with you today that we do have a gift. Our gift that is that God give to us through Christ is our salvation. And then that salvation is an amazing peace and is an eternal gift. But once we receive that gift, then it just seems though that we begin to face challenges right out the gate. Face challenges that are in the world, because here it is. Once we come to know Christ, then our heart and our lives, our spirit has changed and moved over to God. And we have the Holy Spirit, and we are different now. We are not part of the family of the world. Now we're part of the family of God. And so what we see here is, it is the world is angry that we have moved our residency and citizenship out of the world and into the Father's family. And because of that, we are going to have trials and tribulations from them. So we've been set free from the world and its chains. We are into the family of God where we are free, filled with the Holy Spirit, pleasing to God. And so we begin to face challenges into the world. And Timothy was one of us facing challenges. I'm going to read a little bit into 2 Timothy, but I want to read into 1 Timothy first. Because he is going to be encouraged on how to do some things. It's a great piece. Just because Timothy is preaching doesn't mean it's not for all of us. It is for all of us. It is for all of us today. But there are some things that are happening here. Paul is telling Timothy there's some things, a couple of things that you need to not focus on. And one of those things is false doctrine. You've got to stay away from false doctrine and human greed. Push those things away. Push those things away, because that is the worldly way. False doctrine is the world's religion. It's false doctrine. And tries to push something between your heart and between your heart and the Lord, and that is greed. When you take your eyes off the Lord and put it on things or money, and it becomes greed begins to take over, Your relationship with God will damper big time. But what he says we need to fill it up with something else. In chapter 6, verse 11, he says, "But you man of God, you Christian, you man of God, run from these things." That's that false doctrine, human greed. "And pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and endurance and gentleness." Those are the things that we are to chase, the righteousness, to strive, and to live for Jesus. We are to strive and live for Jesus, and that godliness is to live out that life as God calls us to live, as His Word calls us, and how to do it. If we don't know how to go through things, I'm telling you, pick up the Word of God, it will help you. It is here to guide us. It is not there to throw on a shelf. It is there to read. But he also says it's faith. pursue faith. You need to chase faith. We believe in the Lord, although we don't see Him, we believe. But we go through trials and tribulations as a believer. And as a believer, when we go through trials and tribulations, we need to understand this, that it's not just, don't just focus on the trial and tribulation. Focus on the end part. How are you going to get through that? How God's going to bring you through it? Because in the end, you know this. I know that through this trial, my faith is going to strengthen. Focus on the strengthening part. Focus on that. The world wants you to focus on the problem, where Jesus wants you to focus on the outcome. It is a different thinking. It is a different type of thinking. He also says to pursue love. We need to learn to love when nobody else in the room is loving. And we can't pick and choose who we love, but you do, and I do. We can't choose who we love. We need to love all people. We are called to love all people. Let me tell you, if the church stopped loving people, then I'm telling you, the world's going to miss out on what love really is. We are called to love when others won't love us back. We're called to love when people don't want to love us. We're called to love our enemies. We're called to love those who don't look like ourselves. We're called to love those who have done us wrong. We're called to love, period. And we're to pursue love. But he also says that we are to endure, pursue endurance. That means we don't quit. We keep going. Keep your eyes focused on the finishing line. Keep your eyes focused. You're called to endure the hardships. Whatever's in front of you, you're called to endure that. But you're also called to pursue gentleness. Gentleness. That means we need to care. We need to have a caring spirit. We need to have a caring spirit. We need to have that. We need to respect others. The world is trying to divide us. Satan is trying to divide us. You don't like these people. People put words in your mouth. You don't like these people because they live like this. Listen, we are called to love people. We don't have to like what people do, but we're called to love them. But people will still put words in your mouth saying you don't love these people. You don't love those people. No, we just don't love the sin that they do. But also don't love the sin that's in my life that I'm trying to wrestle with and fight through. Paul is telling Timothy, you need to pursue these things, man. Come on, you need to pursue these things. You need to get it going. You need to work it out. He says this. He goes on, he says, fight the good fight for the faith. You're in this thing for a fight. You're in this thing for a fight because if you don't, you're already in a headlock and you don't even know it. The world has got you in a headlock and moving you around wherever it wants to go. And I'm going to tell you right now that God saved you for a purpose. And these are part of the things that you need to get instilled into your life that you can fight the good fight of faith. Because we need to have more fighters in the fight of faith. And when you're thinking about fighting, it's not the way you're thinking about fighting. You don't fight with your hands. You don't fight with your hands. It's not that way. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, for our battle is not against flesh and blood. Here we go. It's not against flesh and blood. Listen, you're thinking it's a fight in the flesh. It's not against flesh and blood. Listen, there's a spiritual darkness over this place this morning. I already talked to a couple of people about it. But we're going to press on. We're going to push through. We're on the front lines of these spiritual battles. We're out there on the front lines. We're in the battle where lives get changed. And some people choose not to want to change. People get out there and they want to do what they want to do, and they're going to pay the consequences. Listen, you blow it. Some people can blow it even in our ministries, and they go into prison. This is no game. You want to go play with fentanyl? You want to go play around? And you want to do that stuff? And here it is. You can do prison, but I can't. No, you made a choice. Then we lost one over the weekend. I'm going to call it out. But I also want to tell you, I got called also earlier this week that somebody in my Bible study in New Haven died over fentanyl this week. Because it is no game. Life is this is not a game. You think I can drink and drive and I can go to the club, I can do this and I can go home because it's only 2 miles away. Let me tell you something, that Satan is ready for you in that moment. You think you're in control, you're not in control. You think you can look at that woman and you got feelings and you're in the ministry, I'm telling you what, you better walk away. You better turn around and walk away. Satan's about got you in a headlock and you're about ready to lose everything that you've been working for 20, 30, 40 years. And let me tell you, it don't stop when you're 60 or 70. I already know some horror stories. You're not done until you're done. It is a fight. It is a fight to finish. It is a fight for the faith. You need to take hold of eternal life. You need to take hold of it. I know that I have eternal life. I know that is solid because what God's word tells me. I've received Christ in my life. I have eternal life. I have salvation. I'm part of the family of God. I'm not better than anyone else, but I know who is, and that is Jesus Christ. I have him in my life, and I know that I have eternal life, and that you are called to have and made a good confession about in the presence of many witnesses. People know about my salvation. People should know about your salvation. Come on now. People should know about that you're saved or not. They shouldn't ask you, who, do you go to church? No, they should know you by now that that's where you are. That you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That you understand and know who the Holy Spirit is. That you have a solid baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That you know who you are, that your eternal life is in Jesus Christ. And you know that, and you're not going to question that. And he goes on, he says, he is the blessed and the only sovereign, the King of Kings. That he is, amen? And the Lord of Lords, the only one who is immortality. Dwelling in the unapproachable light, no one has seen him or can see him. To him be honor and eternal might. Amen. This is an encouragement for the believer. This is an encouragement for Timothy. Come on, man. Let's go. You got to get it up. You got to get into the fight. You got to be strong. You got to set these other things away of the world, pursuing false doctrine, greed. You got to get in there and you got to focus and pursue these things that God wants us to. Also, those things, some of those are like the fruits of the Spirit that you know. But he goes on, but he says this, this is an encouragement for the believers. Confirmation by the Holy Spirit once again that Jesus is in charge. Jesus is in charge. He's in charge of my life. My decisions need to be made through prayer and through reading of the Word and listening and stepping forward in what God's called me to do. This keeps us reminded of eternal things. That it's not just here, but it's eternal things. So we see that Timothy is encouraged by what Paul has given to him. He's encouraged. But sometimes when you get encouraged, it don't last all the time. It's there, but you have moments where you get discouraged. Come on now. We get moments where we get discouraged. 2 Timothy jumps right into it. This is a second letter. Now, the first letter is a great letter. The second letter is a great letter too. But this one starts out a little different. Paul is reminding Timothy who he is. Reminding him of his salvation. Reminding him that he says in verse 4 of 2 Timothy 1, remembering your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with the joy, clearly recalling your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, in your mother Eunice, and that I am convinced is also in you. It's a reminder. You're saved. You have it. What's going on? How many of you feel like you're in a low spot in your walk with the Lord? How many of you feel like you're in a place where your walk was not like it used to be? It's not on fire like it was. Paul says, therefore, I remind you to keep a fire, to blaze, to stir it up, the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. But the key piece is, honey, got to get that fire. Got to get that fire. Come on, Timothy, you got to get that fire going. And sometimes life happens. Sometimes ministry happens. Sometimes we get weak. Sometimes we get discouraged. And we get depressed. We didn't chase anything. Maybe we didn't do anything wrong, but we just get discouraged at times. I want to tell you, if you let discouragement and depression leak in, you become negative. We can get into a funk. That's where we want to get stronger in the Lord, but we just don't do it. Like, we don't have the energy. We become spiritually dry at times. You're reading the Word, nothing's coming back. You're praying, and you feel like the Lord's not there. You keep doing the things you're supposed to be doing. This is the person that keeps doing what they're supposed to be doing, but they feel spiritually dry. Sometimes we get scared. We get afraid. We see things and we hear things that's going on in the world, and we get a little bit fearful. We start watching more news. We start watching the news here. We start watching the news here, and it's pulling us, getting y'all scared. We find our places. We find ourselves in those places from time to time. And Timothy is in this place. He is in this place. And we're kind of like this at times. We're really great with the Lord and things are going great. And then sometimes we stagger and low go down. And sometimes we go up, or sometimes we stay down in that spot for a while. We got to figure out how to get out of it. Because I'm telling you this, if you've been in the spiritual dryness, you've been in the spiritual funk, or your spiritual life is not the way it was, and it's been like this for a couple of years, you've got a problem. That's not normal. Number one, I'm going to tell you how to get through it. I'm going to help you how to get through it. Y'all want to know how to get through it? This is when you pull out a pen, you just get through it, or you just focus on what we're going to be talking about. How to get that fire back. How to get that fire back inside of you. How to get it back. Because I'm telling you, you didn't lose it. You didn't lose your salvation. You didn't lose the Holy Spirit. But it's there. But you got to get it stirred back up. Okay? Number one, you got to take responsibility. It's your responsibility. Take responsibility for it. Tell yourself, I'm responsible for my spiritual health. I'm responsible for it. Can't say, oh, I don't get anything out of the preaching. Oh, I don't get anything out of Sunday school. Oh, I don't get anything. No, take responsibility. Because when you're telling people, you know, I don't get anything out of the preachings, I don't get anything out, listen, then you must be the smartest person, because there's bot radio and you can listen to old Adrian Rogers, or you can listen to Franklin Graham, or you can listen David Jeremiah, or you can listen to Charleston. You can pick from all of them. But if you're saying, no, I don't get anything out of it, you got to take personal responsibility. Number two, you have to get moving. You got to start moving. Physically start moving in the right direction. When you are spiritually dry, you move away from the things of God. The longer you stay in it, it will draw you away from God. You'll move in a different direction. You may know how to put a smile on, but let me tell you, that's an outward appearance. Your eyes may glisten and beam from time to time, but that's an outward expression. God sees the inner part of a person. And that only shows its truth. And God sees that. Where we can fool everyone in the house, but we can never fool Him. So I have to get moving in the right direction. I got to get back to some of those things before. I gotta get myself involved. I gotta do something. I gotta share what's going on with. I gotta share it with somebody else. Number three, you gotta pray, and you gotta repeat it. And this is where you gotta sometimes you gotta pray the same thing over and over. Some people say, well, you don't pray the same thing over. When you are in the spot. If I got a leaky roof, I'm not going to be thinking about the lawn. I'm not going to be thinking about the driveway. I'm not going to be thinking about cars. I'm thinking about a leaky roof. That's my problem. Focus on the problem. When you pray, focus on the problem. Keep it simple. Focus on the problem. Lord, I don't know what's going on here. I'm trying to work through this. I'm telling you. You keep praying and you repeat it. You keep replaying. Listen, you got to be like Jacob. You got to get in there and you got to wrestle. You got to wrestle. You got to wrestle with this thing. You got to wrestle with the Lord. You got to wrestle with it. Don't, because sometimes the Lord may be saying, I want to see how long you can endure this. Are you going to be one that's going to quit on me after 3 days of it? Or maybe 3 weeks of it? Are you going to be a quitter? Are you going to endure this thing? And your faith, don't you don't even know that your faith sometimes is being tested through these things. You are being tested as a believer. Because there's some things coming up down the road that you have no idea that God knows what's coming up. And if you can't get through this, you are not going to get through that. So we need to pray and we need to repeat it. And we need to be praying positively. In the beginning, it may not be that way, but the Holy Spirit will begin to move. If the Lord's involved in it, your prayer will begin to move. The Holy Spirit will begin to move. And talking about a new day. Talking about how to endure. Yep, for a while, Lord, whatever I'm going through today. You see, in the beginning, you'll be praying something like, Lord, I don't understand why so-and-so did this. I don't understand why this is going on and why this is happening to me. And you begin to, but I want to get through it. Help me through this. And you, if you're genuine, you begin to move that prayer, those prayer words begin to change. Lord, and you're in a couple of days, because I'm telling you, because I know by experience. Lord, here I am. Lord, whatever's in me. What is it in me that needs to be adjusted? What is it? You know, sometimes when I do that, what am I looking for? I'm looking for a quick fix. Lord, fix it. Whatever's in me, I just want to be done with it. But the quick fix is just like putting a tarp over a roofy roof, a rainy roof, a leaky roof. You got to fix it. It needs to be fixed properly. So it's not just, Lord, help me whatever's the problem with me. But Lord, here it is. Lord, my heart, as you begin to pray more and more, my heart, Lord, let it, I want it to be, Lord, change my heart. Change my eyes and what I see. I may not just see what's, Lord, let me see what is spiritually. Lord, show me the direction that I need to go. Lord, my life is not my own. I belong to you. And you belong to me. And what you end up doing is the Holy Spirit begins to take over. You see, the first part, you're wrestling in the flesh just to be able to connect with God sometimes. But as you process and work it, then what happens is the Holy Spirit, you stay in there long enough, the Holy Spirit begins to move in your prayer and change the words. Whatever you thought you were going to talk about, He takes over. Because we really don't even know how to pray to a holy God. I say this, and sometimes I say this, and I say it, and it sounds harsh, but I attempt to pray. When I sing, I make an attempt to worship. We're attempting to worship. We're doing what we can because, listen, how many of your minds have went off already today in service and just drifted off to what you're going to eat, what you're going to do, a cell phone call, a text message you've already got to. That's what we do. So just say this, I made an attempt today. But there are those moments when you do connect. That when you are there, and let me tell you, we want a God so much to be a drive-through prayer piece. But prayer takes work. So we got to pray, repeat, and repeat. Pray and repeat every day, but you got to have this spirit and you got to have an attitude that it's going to be a new day today. No matter if you know you got to fight that tough day today, I'm going to work through this. And then you draw back to Scripture. I can do all things through Christ. I can do this today because of Christ. This is a new day. Number four, you got to be active in the church. I'll put up anybody right now that's going to church on a regular basis to anyone that's not going to church. Their walk with the Lord is stronger, those who are going to church. Hands down. You must be active in the church. You must be worshiping. And sometimes you need to get out there and you need to start serving somewhere. Get your fire back. It's about getting your fire back. It's about stirring it up again. Some of us don't know what it was like the last time we felt the Lord was maybe when we got saved or when we got baptized. Maybe God answered a prayer of your life, and it's 10, 15 years ago. Listen, my last prayer was yesterday. And I'm not saying that boastfully. I just know who I serve. I know who I serve. So we got to get active. Some of you have been active in the church, but you're not active anymore. You need to talk to the Lord about that. Is there a purpose? Sometimes there is a reason. There's a difference between a reason and an excuse. If there is a reason, it's all good. But if you're making excuses, I'm telling you, you got one life to live, and you need to live it for the Lord. And quit saying you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to do this. You quit. Stir it up. Stir up that fire. Stir it up. Number five, you got to rely on God's power to trust Him. That's what He said. You got to rely on God's power. Verse 8 says this: "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, His prisoner. Instead, share in sufferings for the gospel. Rely on the power of God." This is one thing you got to do if you're going to be a strong Christian in the Lord. You got to rely on God. You're no longer in the driver's seat. You no longer get control of the wheel. You must move aside. When you were in the world, you were in charge. And let me ask you that. How was it going? When you let Jesus in charge and you step aside, you let Him drive your life and let Him go. And then when you keep trying to grab that wheel, He's going to smack it. And even if you got a hold of it from sitting over there, how good of a driver you think you are? But some of us are control fanatics in everything. And you're going to have a problem because you want God to decide with you on everything you choose to do. When you try to get God to decide on everything that you choose to do, you're a control fanatic. And one thing I want to tell you, you will never control God. God wants to be in control because He's better at control than you and I are. Let go. Let it go. Let go. Let people make some mistakes around you. Let people make some choices around you, even if they're not good. Quit trying to control everybody. That's what the world is trying to do, control everybody. Let the Holy Spirit control you. Let God control you. Let Jesus control you. They're never trying to lead you in the wrong direction. Can I tell you that? You only got lost once. When you were born, you were lost. You can say, you don't need to get lost in the sense that I don't know where I'm going. God has a direction. It's called His will. He has a will for everyone. Do you want to mess that up? You want to get in the way? Just grab the steering wheel and act like you're the captain again. Some of you got a control problem. I'm going to be honest. Some of you got a control problem. We in America, we have control problems. Then we get angry because people don't side with us. Joshua's standing out and the big battle's getting ready to come. He's looking at Jericho. He walks out. There comes the angel of the Lord. Here comes a visitor. He said, "Whose side are you on?" He said, "Neither." "What?" "Neither. I'm on the side of the Lord." Even though they were God's people, he says, "I'm on the side of the Lord." Let me tell you, we always think that God is on. Everything is geared for us. And we get to take. We need to be careful of that. We need to rely on God's power. Number six, we need to praise Him. When we are we are dry in our walk with the Lord and we're discouraged and we're depressed or we're scared or we're fearful, when we're in that spiritual funk, whatever it is, it's not working. Our walk with God is not working. I'm telling you, we got to learn to praise the Lord in the storms. That's where real praise really comes from, because your heart is really rejuvenating and bringing forth that praise. Those are the most genuine times of praising, when we're praising Him in those hard moments. The world says, "Let's fix it." Let me tell you, you bring a person of the world in here, they're going to try to tell you how to fix 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're going to tell you how to do it the world's way. And probably slip you a pill, just being honest. Do you know a lot of our problems go away when we seek the Lord? A lot of problems. I'm not saying all problems. We live in a broken world. We're sinful people. But I'm just saying a lot of problems would be solved if we just trust the Lord. And when we need to praise Him, because, listen, the world is not praising Him. So when He looks down upon the earth, He sees all things. Where in the world does praise come from? It should come from the believers. The angels do their part. I don't know what they do. You can go back to Job. You can see them presenting themselves before the Lord. There's something that they do. But I'm telling you, praise comes from those. But they see God. We don't. So there's a power in a praising one that we do not see, but we know that He is real. We need to praise Him. The more we praise Him, the more we are actually strengthened in our walk with Him. But our praise has to be real, has to be genuine. So even if you are in a spiritual rut, just praise Him anyway. If that's all you got, you got something. You can praise Him. You can praise the Lord because He is worthy of prayer, of praise. Not just on your good times and your good days, but also your worst days. And let me tell you, as a Christian, you know this. You've been walking with the Lord. You know this. You have experience of praising God in the good days and your celebrations. But you also know, and you've praised Him with a joyful heart. But there's been times in your life where you praised Him with a broken heart. And you praised Him with tears. And you praised Him with everything you got. And I want to tell you, it's usually over here that's where your heart is. Oh, you have open heart spiritual surgery over here because you're in a spot and you spend more time. And you may do it over here, and it's great and it's good. We're supposed to. We're expected to. But over here, this is where many people tend to fall away. They fade away. But you need to stand strong. And you're going to get that fire back. You say, I'm going to praise Him anyway. I'm going to praise Him anyway. Whatever I'm going through, I'm going to praise Him anyway. No matter what is going on, I'm going to praise Him. The Holy Spirit gravitates to that. Number 7. You repeat it all over again. You got to go back to taking responsibility. You have to go back to get moving again. You got to go back and begin to pray through that, through the process, and become active again in the church and start worshiping and serving. You got to rely on God's power. And you praise Him, and then you do it all over again. Why? Because it's that important. It's that important. And some of you will think about this message for the day, and it'll fade away. Hopefully it doesn't. And then 6 months later, you're in the same place. And a year later, you're in the same place. 5 years later, I got a lot more gray hair. You might look different too. But if you're in the same place, I want to tell you this. You've never taken responsibility. You've never done anything about your spiritual health. You've never done anything that you needed to do. You just expected God to do it all. Let me ask you this. Has God done enough? God's done enough, but yet He'll keep doing more. He'll keep doing more. Why are you down? Why are you discouraged? Why are you not a happy believer? Why is your heart just filled with brokenness? And it could be that you have sin in your life. Or it just could be that you're in a moment of dryness in your walk. You're in a place and you're just kind of accepting it. This is what Paul was telling Timothy. I'm going to remind you, you need to stir it up. You need to stir up the gift that God has. You got to stir it up. You got to stir it up. You don't have to stay down. You don't have to stay down in it. Sometimes we're in it because we don't want to move. Sometimes in it because we don't want to get up. Sometimes in it because we're wallowing it. We got to get up. We got to fight that fight. What have we learned? What have we learned? We have to fight. The battle is a spiritual battle. You got to fight. I don't talk about demons. Well, you want to be a strong Christian, you better. I don't like to talk about revelations in the end times. I get scared. Well, then I'm going to ask you this. Are you concerned about your salvation? Fight the good fight for the faith. Fight the good fight. Fan the flame of the gift. Let go. Let God be God in your life. Not just off the lips, but in your fingertips, where your feet go, where your mind tends to wander, what your eyes see. There is only one God. And you need to know Him. And if you know Him, you need to make sure that that is solid in your life. It's time that we get real. We've got to get real with our relationship with God. We got to get real with that relationship. You see, you can get busy. The more busy you get, I know, I'm busy here. Busy, busy, busy. You can have a tendency to easily just slowly fade away from God, but you're still doing godly things. I'm going to close with this. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Paul's telling Timothy, don't you be ashamed of that or me, this prisoner. Instead, share in the sufferings for the gospel. Get in the games, what he's saying. Get in the fight. Rely on the power of the Lord. He's saying you can't do it on your own. You've got to rely on the power of the Lord. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This has now been made evident through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and mortality to light through the gospel. We hold the salvation story inside of us. And that's what the demonic was trying to do. Contain that in Timothy, that he gets scared and not share the gospel. Some of you used to bring people that were away from the Lord, and you used to bring them up for prayer. I don't hear it anymore. You used to share where you shared the gospel, but we're so busy doing whatever we're doing that we're not even sharing the gospel. That's why that board, that's why we're not stirring the waters. It's not God, it's us. Because we're not wanting to share the gospel. We're afraid. We are afraid to share the gospel. And the gospel is what saved my life. It's what saved your life. And if you need to remember that if it stops here, then everybody else don't get saved. People have to come to Christ through salvation to get to God. Salvation is still real today. But some of us are scared to death. We're living in fear. And we're not sharing the gospel. And we're falling in the hands of what Satan wants us to be and where he wants us to be. That we shut down in sharing the gospel. Well, we can't shut down. We have to lift it up. We have to be torches in the darkness. We have to let the light shine out of us. Because if it don't shine out of us, it's not shining out anywhere. But let me tell you, just look. If we could look down one time at the pits of hell and see one person screaming their heads off because they died separated from God. It might, I don't know, but I'm just telling you, it's happening today. People died last night. And let me tell you, I shared the gospel with that young man from New Haven. Let me tell you, he went to wake him up. He was living with his girlfriend. He went to wake him up. And he didn't wake up. He wasn't even 30 years old. And I led this man to the Lord. I believe I led him to the Lord. But then I got to go back and say, but it's not my judgment. But I know the story of the four soils. Could have been an emotional thing. Could have been that Satan was in there. Could have been that he was just thought it was a good thing for the moment. Now I'm going to tell you that if you're saved in Christ, you got to live for Christ. You gotta live for Jesus. So I don't know if I'm going to see him or not. Because just because someone says, I need Jesus in my life and receives it, there's got to be some evidence. that Jesus changed your life. It isn't just getting your ticket clicked. It is that that Jesus came in and made an impact and a change in your life. And I'm praying today that you understand that we are living in a time right now that people need to hear the Lord. But we're not, we're just expecting them to hear it on some kind of screen, either your phone or the TV or whatever it is. But we need to be talking to them face to face, not scared about it, but face to face sharing the gospel that people come to Christ. Because they're not coming to Christ like we think they are on the screens. They come to Christ when you step out in boldness and you step out in your faith and you begin to share what Jesus did in your life, that they might also receive what the same Jesus that you have. That people aren't going, that people need to, in our programs, need to stop going to prison because they keep choosing the sinful life, but that they change a life and they really, really make the change. Words don't mean anything until you put some evidence behind it. People are lost and have no understanding that hell is before them. That at any moment, their life can be taken. Their life may come to an end. A car accident. You all know Jason was a part of this church. It was 3 months. He found out something, got in a car wreck. They thought he was on drugs, but he wasn't. He had some, I can't remember, but he had the cancer that was so into his body, he died like 2 months later. You don't know when your time is coming to an end. But you need to be ready that you're not afraid to die. Because you know who the one who holds life and the keys. And that is Jesus himself. We need to stand up and be strong believers. Our church is weak because we are weak, not because God is weak. Our prayer life is weak because we are not praying. That's why, not because God is weak. Our walk in the Lord is it may be weak because it's us and not the Lord. So if I'm in a spiritual funk or I'm depressed, am I discouraged in my walk with the Lord? I need to take responsibility and do something. Do something. And Jesus says this, come unto me, all who are heavy, all who are weary and heavy laden, come to me, and I will give you rest. For my yoke, that's not heavy. Let me tell you, God loves you more. He's your biggest fan. He is your biggest fan. He wants more people saved than you can ever imagine. Jesus came that they all might be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but give Jesus is amazing. He's just pulling people toward himself because he knows people chose. We are born into sin. Sin is what separates a person from God. Sin must be accounted for. And Jesus did that, atoned it. I know it's a big word. Let me say, Jesus paid the price, paid the cost to wipe away your sin. All you had to do was say, Jesus, I want you. I believe you. Father, as we come to this part of our message, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit moved upon us in a way that only you can do. There are things, Lord, about everyone that only you know. Do what you need to do in Jesus' name, our Savior. Amen. Let's